It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been another big day of football, a big weekend of football. It started last night in Dundee and it will end tomorrow at Hampden. Plenty of topics to discuss. 0141 951 1025 if you want to join us. Hugh Keevans, what's going to be on the minds of the footballing fan in Glasgow and the West today?
Well, if you're a Rangers fan, the AGM is coming up. It gives the shareholders a rare opportunity to speak to the people who run their club and who at the moment are running a club that is drifting. Last night's result on top of the Hamilton Accies defeat has created a major problem for Rangers. Instead of a smooth transition between Pedro Caixinha and the next permanent manager, they now have choppy waters. If you are a Celtic or a Motherwell fan, you're looking forward to this massive occasion at Hampden. Celtic looking to come back strongly after what happened to them in the Champions League in Paris in midweek. And for Motherwell, it symbolises the club's return from the darkest days, from administration, from job losses.
Have you forgotten about the cup finals in between this time, or is this just a nice wee fairy tale for you?
But this time...
This is the one for you, okay.
Well, yeah, this time you can see, I mean, it was a treat having Alan Burrows in here telling us about how the club has moved on. And it's about their pride as a town. As I say, the video made about Motherwell, made about the town's trials and tribulations, but helped by a football club on the move again. So it's a big afternoon.
First call tonight is Colin in Easterhouse. Good evening, Colin.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Not too bad. What's on your mind tonight, Colin?
Hi, DJ. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Colin. Gordon.
Hello.
Derek. I want to talk about Graham Murray. The board has flung a really nice guy under the bus. So they have. The guy should never have been in charge of Forex. Excuse me. And I watched his interview last night on Rangers TV. The guy was close to tears last night. Yeah. I absolutely felt for him last night. And also, if I can put this in as well, I want to talk about one player, Kenny Miller. Now, I know all of our players were ranked last night. I agree with that. But Kenny Miller shouldn't be anywhere near that team. In fact, I'd go as far as saying, I think he's the real manager of Rangers Football Club now. Because he's untouchable.
He certainly wasn't under Caixinha because he didn't play him. It's as simple as that. I get what you're saying. I mean, I don't see enough games. I mean, I see the games on the television, but I didn't see the game last night with Kenny. But according to a lot of the lads I know that were there said he didn't play well again. He did well on his comeback when he played at Murrayfield against Hearts. I thought he was absolutely outstanding on the day and deserved his man of the match. But since then, there's not an awful lot's happened. I wouldn't throw him out of the team. What I would do, I would certainly put him on the bench. Because, you know, he's always decent for a goal coming on late in the game when you've got tired legs. But I certainly wouldn't start him. But I think you've got a fair point there. But again, who's going to take his place? I mean, Rangers have got a squad there and everybody's saying, well, it's the same old team. But I don't think there's anybody better at this moment in time that's on the bench or even some of the youngsters. I think it's the wrong time to throw the youngsters in, you know, because, you know, it's already doing that when you're playing well and you can put one in every now and again. But there's nobody in there that could fill Kenny Miller's boots, I don't think.
Colin, you can't rush people into decisions which they will later regret, but I do think that as we enter week five following Pedro Caixinha's departure, that there should be something known about the manager, the new manager. Would you, Colin, having expressed your sympathy for Graham Murray, and I think you're absolutely correct, how would you feel if Graham Murray was in charge for the double header with Aberdeen?
I think he's going to be here. It's not about feelings. I think the guy's going to be here. I mean, the doubleheader starts this Wednesday, doesn't it? So, not a lot of time. It's just, I looked at a guy in an interview last night, and I don't know if you've seen it yourself here.
Yep.
The guy's so far out of his depth now. All right, coming in for a couple of games. But players weren't playing for him. And somebody made a point during the week there that everybody's calling Murts, and I was like, that's a bit tedious.
Yeah.
But it's true.
There's
no managerial respect for.
See, again, this is the players, and I said it last night. You know, when Graham Murray got the job, he had various individuals coming out from Rangers saying, "Yeah, we're delighted. Murts got the job. His training's great. He's well respected, and the players will play for him. You're getting all this sort of stuff, stuff that you would expect to hear anyway. And there you go. They have a couple of games under him, and he does well at Hearts. He beats Partick Thistle. Not great stuff, but, you know, decent results. Then all of a sudden, you know, a home game, you're beaten. You know, you drew with Kilmarnock, and he was beaten by Hamilton, and then he was beaten by Dundee last night.
No, the draw against Kilmarnock was Kishinia's last game in charge.
Last game, so it was. But he's a good lad, and we all know that. But it's the players again that said, yeah, we're going to play for this man because he's a good lad. What a load of absolute nonsense. Because the majority of them that have gone out there last night, there must have been six or seven passengers in that team last night. And it looked as if they couldn't care less. I know that's not the case, but that was the impression that people are getting of them. There's no fight. There's nothing. There's no leadership. There was nothing in the game last night.
Derek, you know, you're talking about the players have said, we'll do our best for the manager. Maybe that's them doing their best because they're not. This team's not good enough. No, you go through them one by one, and most of them wouldn't get into a kind of decent side in the Premiership. So I think Rangers have got to take a big look at their new manager that's going to come in, and the signings and where they're going to get some money from in January to play and to bring in to play better players.
Mm-hmm. I am not making excuses. That's what I'm going to get accused of. I'm just trying to create an argument here. Hugh Keevans, does the absence of Bruno Alves and Graham Dorans and Lee Wallace, it certainly won't help this lack of leadership, because no. you're then looking only really at Kenny Miller, and if he's not doing it, then that's where the lack of leadership comes from. Let me be very clear, I am not saying that if Bruno Alves and Graham Dorans come into the team it makes a whole world of difference, but I wonder if it's just making the problem worse.
At their best they would help, of course they would, Alves and Dorans, but we always speak of the big picture, and the big picture here is that there seems to be uncertainty or division behind the scenes over who should be the next Rangers manager. There are players there who will have to be shipped out, but it's easier said than done. You have Morelos, for example. I'm not highlighting him for anything other than the fact that he was scoring quite freely at the start of the season, has now gone 10 games without a goal. There's no one to replace him and give you regular goals. Everywhere you look, there are problems that need to be sorted out. And what the fans suspect is that the board are not acting quickly enough and may not know in which way to act. And that's why the AGM on Thursday should be an explosive affair.
You want to come back in, Colin?
Yeah, just on a final point, Gordon. Excuse me, I've got a wee bit of a cold.
Bit of man flu at this time of year,
yeah.
Never good.
we keep going on about three in a row. The Rangers can't get three in a row. If we don't watch ourselves, we're going to get an unwanted three in a row on Wednesday night. So we have three defeats.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point that you make, Colin. And as I say, there is the bigger picture. You know, it's not just about Kenny Miller shouldn't be in the team or whatever. Everywhere you look at Rangers, problems on and off the park. And no wonder supporters at the moment are crestfallen.
See, what you need to remember as well, I mean, the board are getting a bit of stick there, and in some quarters they're right to give the board stick, but the man that's in charge of bringing the manager in is Mark Allen. He's the director of football. Mm-hmm. He's the man that will be interviewing, picking, and then going to the board and say, well, look, I've interviewed four people.
Is he there?
He's just one part of the process, though.
Yeah. But what he will do, as I'm saying, he will say to them, this is who I think you should get. I've interviewed them. And then it's up to the board to say yay or nay. But if that is the case, why are you bringing in somebody to do that? To get the right players in and then bring a manager if it's needed or a coach in. And then you're not listening to. What's the point in having him there?
Yeah, but he's only one part of the process. He can't go ahead and do it without the rest of the board. So there's obviously a delay there. And added to the fact that I understand he probably should have had that, but he's also relatively new in the role, which just goes back to a historical problem. The fact that they hired Pedro Caixinha before they got the director of football.
If I was the director of football and I've interviewed them all, and I say, right, the best one is Sam Allardyce. Now he's what an X, Y, and Z. And you go to the board and say, well, look, I've interviewed him and I think he's been the best of the lot.
But he wouldn't do the interviews alone, he would do it as well.
No. I think he's the man who will
interview.
It's not
going to be a one-man interview panel. Come on.
Well, how many directors of football are they then?
Well, it was directors who picked Pedro Caixinha. So
yeah, that was before he was there.
Yeah, but...
But they brought him in and that's his job.
I think one of the things that has to be found out and answered by the board, the rumour factory would have it that Rangers are offering a salary that no top quality manager is going to accept.
But Hugh, you always hear who's been interviewed at Rangers or any football club. If a football club's trying to get a new manager, you always hear, oh, so-and-so was up, he's had an interview. It always comes out, How many have we heard about going to Rangers? Yeah. How many?
No, absolutely.
And don't tell me it's always been, oh, we've kept this really quiet, we've kept this one really quiet.
Well,
always gets out because, Derek, every agent, every football agent, if it's a manager from down south, if he comes up, the first thing his manager is going to do is tell the whole world because he wants his manager to get a job. So it's always going to put out in the press.
Well, we'll soon find out because eventually when they do that, these questions will be asked.
Yeah. Mark is in Partick. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, good evening. It's just a couple of points I'd like to make to the panel. Obviously about the Rangers situation. I mean, it's getting beyond a joke now, and I think a lot of fans at Pace Weekly will still go on, and I think the club is in a really financial state. I mean, I think there's a fear for them to go back into administration. And I'd like to ask the point about if Mike Ashley sells Newcastle in January, do you think he'll come over to Ibrox and obviously hang the sports director in Europe if he get into the Champions League?
No, I would suggest absolutely no chance.
Mike Ashley wants out of football. Yeah. Mike Ashley is disillusioned with football.
We obviously don't know for sure, but that's the impression you get, isn't it, with the Newcastle scenario?
Yeah. And to be honest, Rangers are not an attractive proposition to businessmen at the current moment.
Because Mark just mentioned Champions League football.
No, that's years ahead. So, you know, I know that people are looking for saviours. They're looking for people to come in and transform Rangers overnight because they have unlimited sums of money. But I don't think that Mike Ashley is remotely interested in taking over Rangers.
Mark makes the point that he fears that fans are going to stop turning up. Derek, the one thing you have to say in credit to the Rangers fans is that that actually doesn't look like happening yet. It may well become a point, but it certainly doesn't look like
that's where
the disappointment comes, because they continue to turn out in their numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And are being let down by what they're seeing.
That's the only good thing about it. I think the Rangers fans have been very patient, and it's not like them. Normally, the first signs of things are wrong, they're the first ones on this programme. Yes, there have been a few on here that are not happy, but the majority of them know. But we're just hearing today that there's going to be some sort of protest on Tuesday. Was it Wednesday?
Yeah.
Before the Aberdeen game. We don't know that. That's the word that's coming out. And that's the first time anything has happened, you know, between... And I don't think it's to do with it with the players or the management. I think this will be for the board before Thursday's AGM.
Thanks to Mark and Partick. Remember, we've got a big cup final on our hands this weekend as well. Chris is a Celtic fan in Knits Hill, and that's exactly what he wants to talk about. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Pan. How are you doing?
All good, Chris.
Oh, good. Thanks a lot for Hugh for giving me a bit of comedy gold, calling myself a specky tube. That was brilliant. Couldn't stop laughing.
If you can't laugh at yourself, Chris, you know.
Oh, it was fantastic. I couldn't, honestly, 10 minutes to wipe my eyes, honestly.
Well done, Hugh.
I'm looking for a BAFTA award.
I'd give you one anyway, definitely. Anyway, I was wanting to make a point about, first of all, a couple of people on media, mainstream media, have been talking about how Brendan Rodgers should have set up against PSG. I really don't see where it can go. I mean, you know yourself, 400 million worth of strikers, and I think you tweeted as saying you need to buy defenders that defend, and I think you're totally right. You do need to buy defenders that defend, and Boyata for me isn't a defender that defends. He's a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And I know Brendan Rodgers said he's my first choice centre-back. Who am I to challenge the guy's tactics? He's done wonders for us, but I don't see the guy in training, so I don't know what he's like. But I don't think he commands any sort of, you know, prowess that a centre back would.
No.
And that's my first worry. If a guy like Louis Malt is bang on form, then strikers are bang on form against somebody that's maybe no high in confidence, can give us problems tomorrow. And this is where I think Celtic really. I wouldn't even start Forrest. If Roberts is fit tomorrow, I'd start with Roberts, because I think we need to put the game to bed early tomorrow.
How do you think that approach will go, Chris? Because if it looks like Mikael Lustig isn't going to make it through injury, I mean, it might have to be a bit of a reshuffle shape-wise anyway.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, we certainly have got the quality there, and we should be beating Motherwell, you know, but it's a cup final. Anything can happen in these games.
Murdo, let me get Murdo's opinion in. Sorry, Chris, we'll get him to answer your question. Chris would like to see Patrick Roberts come back in if he was fit. He was on the bench the other night, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
So
And obviously never got on the other night. But again, he's still to get fit. So I think it's a difficult one just to throw him straight in for the cup final. Before most of last season, he started on the bench, he came on, he changed games, he scored goals, he was fantastic. This year he started most of the games. Forrest was on the sidelines, he's came on for him. But James Forrest, I thought he played really, really well against Bayern Munich. I thought Celtic's best player on the night. The other night, I think it's very difficult to judge any Celtic player. Because everybody's talking about defence was poor.
You defend from the front, that's what you do against good teams.
Everyone else, I don't think any Celtic player got up to the mark that they would normally get up to. Just at that level, it's so difficult for Celtic. And they would need to change their whole mentality of trying to go forward, trying to get a goal. The mentality against someone like PSG would be, let's sit and let's park the bus, let's park two buses. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And on the break, we've got enough quality going forward, on the break to do that. You talk about defenders and Boyata, you know, he's nervous and everything else. What you haven't to forget is what Celtic have got in midfield and up front themselves. Yeah. You know, they've got goals in them. So even if you lose one goal, two goals, you always know that Celtic and the other side of the park are going to do well.
Hugh, that's the problem in a nutshell if you're Stephen Robinson or a Motherwell fan, because it's all right saying that Dedrick Boyata looked a nervous wreck against PSG and so on, but the last 64 games tell you that they cope just fine in domestic football.
Yeah, but I'm with Chris on this one. I think Boyata simply does not carry out the basic fundamental rudiments of defending, and Simonovic beside him, at times their attempts at defending in Paris were woeful. But whatever it is to be with Boyata, Beaton, Simonovic at the back, as Derek said, look at the cast that Celtic have. Whatever damage is, if any, is sustained at the back, Dembele, Sinclair, Armstrong, McGregor, Roberts, Forrest, Griffiths, Rogic, anybody would give their left arm to have all of that talent at your disposal. Obviously, they don't all start, but you've got three choices to bring on as well. So, again, I repeat, Dembele, Sinclair, Armstrong, McGregor, Roberts, Forrest, Griffiths, Rogic, Celtic must win.
Thanks to Chris and Nitz Hill. More of your calls coming up next.
Games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Remember, in our featured games, it finished Hearts 0, Ross County 0, Hamilton 1, Hibs 1 and Falkirk 0, Morton 3. We're looking back on a poor night for Rangers last night and a big game for Celtic and Motherwell tomorrow in the League Cup final. Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod and Hugh Keevans are all here and we are taking your calls. Let's speak to Mark in Giffnock. Hi, Mark.
Hi, panel. I have never spoken to Jim Traynor before, but I did last night. I did, for those that don't know, obviously you know, but he's responsible, his company is responsible for outsourced all the media that comes out of Ibrox.
Correct.
It's outsourced level 5. Now, Jim was a lovely guy, I think he was old pal. I was with another guy that knows Jim Traynor very well, and we were left with an absolutely no doubt at all. The words didn't come out of Jim's mouth, but we were left with the impression, no, without any shadow of a doubt, that Rangers still want Derek McInnes, that Rangers believe they'll get Derek McInnes, to expect another 4 to 6 weeks before Rangers have got that manager in place. There definitely won't be a manager in place for the AGM. And that's the impression we've been left without any shadow of a doubt, believe me. There's a lot of names we mentioned to Jim. They were quickly said, no, it won't be this one, won't be that one. So it's just to basically say to the Rangers fans, it could be another 4 to 6, it could be Christmas, it could be during the transfer window. I don't know the reason. I've absolutely no idea. But that's certainly the impression we've been left with.
Well, I know enough of Jim to know this. He'd be very unhappy at a private conversation being made public on...
That's what we're here for.
Exactly. And unfortunately, what the Rangers support need, and I am one of them, travelling up from Dundee or whatever on a Friday night, giving up time, any information we can get from the board that are not giving us anything, then we need to share with our fellow...
Yeah. Mark, can you tell me something before Hugh comes in? Can you tell me the ones you said no to?
Billy Davis, 100% no chance.
Right.
The De Boer brothers. We talked about Sam Allardyce. He wanted to bring his whole entourage up. I know that they spoke to Allardyce.
That was my favourite. Oh, they spoke to him?
Yeah, apparently they spoke to him. That was the rumours last night. He wanted to bring up his whole entourage with him, and he wanted around 20 million in January, so that's a no-go. But the club want McInnes, and the reality is Rangers haven't approached McInnes. So Derek and his chairman can come out and say he's interested, he's staying at Aberdeen. Rangers haven't made an approach, so that's natural.
Well, again, you're getting one man's opinion here. In my opinion, Derek McInnes would look a fool if he took the Rangers job now, having said that he had unfinished business at Aberdeen. And his quote about, if you want to know who's going to be the next manager of Rangers, why don't you ask them, don't ask me. I'm only interested in Aberdeen and doing their business. So, I think he would look a fool if he went back on that decision and those quotes within a matter of weeks.
Even with what Derek's been talking about yesterday, Derek would be thinking, Rangers had 4 weeks ago had a chance to ask me to see if I fancied the job.
Yeah.
And now 4 weeks on, Rangers haven't asked them.
And also, since you're in the market for rumour, Mark, the rumour is that Derek McInnes did not have the unanimous approval of the Ibrox board. So, as I say, I think knowing the man as I do, he'll be very unhappy that a private conversation has now been made a public matter here. But my opinion, Derek McInnes will not be the next Rangers manager.
The beauty of this show is if callers like Mark come on and give us a bit of information, if that turns out to not be the case, my goodness, Mark is going to be reminded of it for a long, long time by his fellow listeners. But, Hugh Keevans, no matter what happens, the bit that jumped out just personally for me was the time frame.
Yeah. I mean, there's an AGM
in Mark's
on Thursday, yeah. I mean, to say to the supporters at the AGM, listen, it might be Christmas, might be New Year. They simply will say to the members of the board, do you have any idea what you're doing?
And also, at the AGM, because you know it's going to get asked, obviously, it's going to be at the top of everyone's list, that's a public forum. Dave King, or whoever it may be, will not and cannot say, oh yeah, we want Derek McInnes, but it's going to take a few weeks. You couldn't say that in public when the guy's employed by Aberdeen. So
over 10% of the shareholding are Rangers fans themselves. You know, so they'll be quite entitled to get, you know, to get an answer.
But do you see what I mean, Hugh? So if that's the case, then they wouldn't be able to answer the question directly, and that just leads to even more uncertainty, which I would imagine most shareholders are going to go on Thursday, assuming that it's going to be cleared up.
I find that hard to believe, 4 to 6 weeks. I just don't see that
Rangers,
at all.
Rangers supporters understand that their club is toiling on and off the park, but they will not have the club's status diminished to the extent that Rangers will go with an interim manager, maybe until Christmas, maybe into New Year, what, maybe until Easter, maybe until next August. That's not the way properly run football clubs go about their business.
Thanks to Mark and Giffnock for that call. I'm sure lots of you are going to remind Mark about this if the next Rangers manager isn't Derek McInnes, but time will tell on that front. Let's hear from some of the managers then, shall we? Some reaction making its way to us. What a terrific win for Jim Duffy's Morton. 3-0 victors away at Falkirk. Here's what Jim Duffy had to say at full time.
It was a terrific win, and you know, Falkirk are a good side, and you know, they're obviously lacking a wee bit of confidence just now with results, but you know, if you look at their squad, they've got some very, very good players. This is a notoriously difficult place to come and get a result. For us to come back with all three, a clean sheet and a 3-0 victory was you know, an outstanding performance and result.
Did you see it as an opportunity to come here with Falkirk struggling as they are? You know, did you sense that there was a chance that you could come and get the win here today?
Absolutely not. No, all you can do is focus on your own team and see whether you can get a performance from them. And today, I think in the first half in particular, we were the better side. I thought we started the game well, we had chances, played some terrific football, and you know, we got ourselves a 2-goal advantage. The second half was, we knew that Falkirk would put us under pressure. They made substitutions, they Lee Miller on, they got it in the box. But I said, Derek Gaston, their goalkeeper, 2 outstanding saves within about a minute. And then we went up the pitch and scored just after that. And once we scored the third goal, obviously, that gave us an opportunity to relax and just made sure we were disciplined and concentrated, and we managed to do that.
Some cool finishing as well for Thompson.
It was a fantastic goal. You know, we broke the play up in midfield, we counter-attacked at pace. Gary Harkins had a fantastic way to pass. into the area that Tomo had exploited in a great finish. So as I say, this is a very, very difficult place to come. I mean, you know, Falkirk will definitely improve as the season goes on. I've got no doubt about that. So for us to pick up all 3 points, of course, we're absolutely delighted.
Sounds a very happy man, and that is job done and well done. 3-0 away from home against anyone is a decent result in the Championship, and that's a very decent result for a Morton side who'd gone into the game not at their best.
But for Falkirk, the worry continues, yeah, Murdo. What a terrible time.
It does, and this is the time every football club in the league want to play Falkirk at this time, whether it's home or away. I think the only person that's had the victory for Falkirk was Alex Smith.
Yeah,
I think that was the only victory. So it lets you know there's big problems at Falkirk just now.
Well, Morton stay in sixth place. They're only now 1 point behind Queen of the South, just ahead of them in fifth.
We're going to turn our attentions, of course, we're going back and forward between last night's game and the cup final coming up tomorrow. I like this tweet. These types really make me laugh. The Internacional on Twitter, he says, "Panel are absolutely foaming for Motherwell to win the cup tomorrow." Then a wee swear word, pathetic. Murdo McLeod, ex-Celtic player, yeah, ex-Celtic assistant manager. Do you want Motherwell to win the cup tomorrow?
Not at all.
So, Internacional, you are wrong. But thanks for getting in touch.
You're only asking Murdo.
When I read out the names of the players that Celtic have at their disposal, I finished the sentence by saying, so Celtic will win. What's wrong with the man?
Selective hearing sometimes. That's okay. We can forgive you that, the Internacional. It's a Saturday night.
I think it
sometimes
would be great for Scottish football if Motherwell won.
I thought you might say that. That I can forgive. Okay, Alec is in Parkhead talking about that game tomorrow. Hi, Alec.
Hi, panel. How are we doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Hi, obviously, further looking forward to the game. I think, first and foremost, it's going to be a good game of football. Motherwell are on top form. You know, they're playing some nice, attractive football. Obviously Celtic coming off of the PSG game, I think enough's been said about that. A lot of talk has been on about the physicality side of it for Motherwell. Now that's up to Motherwell, you know what I mean? They've got to do whatever they need to do. But let's not forget, Celtic and obviously a lot of our forward gone players have been booted after, well, they've been tried to get booted after the park for every other team, so it's nothing new. We've got skillful players, but we've got players who can also look after themselves. So that side, Disney bother me one bit, you know what I mean?
Alec, I think to be fair, to say booted off the park, I mean, Celtic have gone 64 domestic matches undefeated. Yes. Teams don't try to boot them off the park. It's simply right. We've got good quality coaches.
It's sometimes
here.
What happens up against good players. See Celtic against PSG, for instance. It happens.
But I'm confining myself to domestic football. 64 games undefeated.
Celtic can handle it.
Nobody. But I'm questioning the use of the phrase "booted off the park." We've got good coaches here who are trying their level best to play football. They might not have the skill and abundance that Celtic have, but name me one who tried to boot you off the park, Alec.
Well, get back last season, Hugh, the Old Firm game. Patrick Robertson will get his leg snapped in the first 2 minutes. Can you remember that? At Hampden, I'm sure. Or was it? You know the game that I'm talking about, because we spoke about it in Edo for about 2 weeks after it.
Yeah.
Right, so there's one instance.
One tackle. You've given me
right,
one tackle.
Okay, it was a figure of speech. Obviously, as well, about regards to, I've been listening to it this week, Rangers fans phoning in about the PSG score. My fellow Celtic fans, this season, even if Brendan Rodgers wins a double, wins the league, wins the treble, whatever happens, Brendan Rodgers, to me, for what he did last season, he's, you know, the people phoning up saying that, you know, we're going to get judged. Again, Celtic fans phoning up saying we'll get judged in the Europa League. See if we get into the Europa League and get dumped in the first game, I couldn't care less. We've always spoke about the bread and butter as Scotland. A lot of the negativity, obviously, for pundits, for players, for people phoning up, I thought that we were trying to lift the Scottish game. Since Brendan's come in, he's lifted it a lot. Right, we get beat 7-1 with PSG. Me, personally, I couldn't care less. The guy, in my eyes, is a god.
Well, that's fine. If you don't care when Celtic lose 7-1, that's fine. It's entirely your prerogative. But your view is not universally shared by the Celtic supporters. A lot of them are embarrassed by losing 7-1. And we can spend all night getting to the reasons why they lost 7-1, but it will be allowable now and in the future to say that you disagree with Brendan Rodgers about something. You know, he, as I've said in this programme, time without number. For as long as he is the Celtic manager, Celtic will dominate in this country and will continue to dominate every other club in this country. But it is allowed to say that, in your opinion, Brendan might have got something wrong.
You know, you want to listen to Steve Robinson, who said, look, if we try and outpass Celtic, he says, we'll get absolutely battered. We've got to find a way to beat them. And the way to do it is get close and personal with the Celtic players on the day. That's all you can do.
Remember, it finished 1-1 between Hamilton and Hibs at the Super Seal Stadium. Here's what Neil Lennon made of it.
We got no protection today at all. We're going to lose John McGinn either. He goes to England or he'll end up in hospital. The quality of tackling was a disgrace from the opposition. I think the tackle count was, or foul count was, 19-7. They had 5 yellow cards. How they ended up with 11 men on the pitch is beyond me. If you see our goal again, 2 of them tried to take Barker out. No attempt to play the ball. The referee should have went back to it and booked them. The tackle on McGinn at the end is disgraceful. We should have had a penalty on McGeoch. Redmond took him out as he's gone to cross the ball. And we believe there may have been a foul in the build-up to their goal. So I'm very frustrated, not with my team. I thought my team were brilliant, but disappointed with the referee. I thought he was completely out of his depth. We're going back to the 1950s. Alisson, I like a tackle. I like the game played the right way. I like hard men, but anyone can kick people. And we were just, they were taking swipes at us at every opportunity that they could. And it's not on.
Did you speak to him afterwards?
No, I've not had a chance yet. I don't know if I'll get the opportunity. You need to see it back. It's just beyond belief. Some of the challenges that were in that game, it was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. John McGinn got kicked up the backside in the box and volleyed, and no one saw it. Then he gets booked, having been fouled, like a petulant little trip on him. He's off balance and he goes in for a tackle. Referee gives a free kick to us, but books John. It's just unbelievable.
Doesn't sound too happy to me.
Well, he's always compelling listening when he's got a bee in his bonnet, Neil Lennon. Unfortunately for us, it's impossible to comment on what he has said other than to praise him for his candour, because we have not seen
some big accusations in there.
Yeah, but we have not seen a single thing. Therefore, you cannot say he's right about that or he's wrong about that. We haven't seen it. All you can do is say he clearly feels a sense of grievance, and I look forward to seeing the highlights.
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, you'd have been thinking, get second spot tonight. And that's what he was looking forward to. And I thought he'd maybe been angry because of that. But now it's all changed now. It's all about the challenges from Hamilton. And that's a big accusation about the all over the pitch. So many players kicked. He's actually naming players that's kicked some of his players. No, so obviously Neil's not happy.
Dennis is in Blantyre. He wants to talk about coping with PSG. We'll get to that coming up next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Into the final part of tonight's show. Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson still here with me, Gordon Duncan. Let's go to the phone lines again. Dennis has been hanging on patiently. Hi, Dennis.
Hello there.
What's your point tonight, Dennis?
I'm a good Celtic supporter. I says, I'm glad to get talking to Derek, Hugh, and to him why my hero is Murdo. I says, but when I look at this PSG side, I think they're the best of the best that I've seen in a long while. Celtics took a piling off of Barcelona, and it was hard to take, but when the best team wins, the best team wins. But when you look at Barcelona at the time, you had about 4 players on that side that are outstanding. You had Messi in that. But when you look at that PSG side, I think that they've now got the cream of the cream. And what I'd like to see was, I watched Liverpool the other night, they're playing in Europe against Seville, winning 3-0, then they come back to 3-3 and crumbled. What team's going to live with a team like PSG? They all know do it, and that's your top English. I want to see English Premier League sides playing against this side to see a level that I want to see, if they can play at it.
Murdo, I think that's where everyone is. That's where you would have to look forward to the closing stages of the Champions League, because PSG have made this group, and by the way, we include Bayern Munich in that, look 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 easy. So that's the real test for them, is can they go on and win it?
Well, that's the test. It's just where the draw is going to be. If it's English Premier League, Premiership clubs, you're looking at Man City just now. They're flying. You're looking at Chelsea. They're top class. So once you get together, then you'll get a wee guide to who's the best. Because watching them play the other night, Dennis, I thought they were outstanding.
But I also thought, Murdo, that Celtic didn't play well at all. Yeah. And that was they didn't defend. They gave the ball away in midfield. The top teams in that group don't do that. So Celtic made it easier for PSG.
You'd have to still fancy them, though, Derek, would you not?
PSG, you know, were at their job and brilliant finishes and everything. You're right. But Celtic made it easier for them just the way they played.
But you would have to fancy PSG to go deep into the competition.
Oh, very much
not?
So. But you're right. I'd love to see them against a Man City or something, or Bayern or Real Madrid.
Well, they've played Bayern already and beat them 3-0.
Yeah, but when you go on in the competition, let's see how they do.
Do you want to come back in, Dennis?
I'm just saying, Derek says here. I says, what about the other night, Derek, when your Liverpool side went and played and won in 3-0 against Seville, then crushed it. They crumbled to 3-3. They could even get beat in the last minute. And as I'm saying, these teams look great here playing among themselves. Celtic does look great playing their own league, but you, still Dennis, a team like this, PSG.
Dennis, you can come up with any argument to suit your own argument. You know, I mean, I could say to you, Basel beat Manchester United. You know, do Basel have a budget that's much different from Celtic's? But I think the Celtic supporters have got to get this out of their minds now. It's happened, it's done, it's over with. For me, there's a clash of ideologies. Brendan Rodgers believes that Celtic must play in a certain way. And if that means 7-1 in Paris, then he's not going to change his mind. Some Celtic supporters, and Dennis is not one of them, some Celtic supporters, a large percentage I would suggest, don't want to see Celtic lose 7-1 to anyone and want to see Celtic being more pragmatic. When it was 4-1, use whatever term you like, shut up shop, get everybody behind the ball, do whatever you like. 4-1, everyone would understand that against Mbappe and Cavani and Neymar. So, you know, it's a clash of ideologies, but Brendan Rodgers is not for turning.
We know Hamilton Accies are on a decent run. They got the win against Rangers. They've got a recent draw against Aberdeen. They've managed another draw today against Hibs. But Neil Lennon called Hamilton's tackling a disgrace. Let's see what Martin Canning made of the game at full time.
For us, I said at half time, I wasn't happy at half time. That's probably as poor as we've actually passed the ball. I think when I watch the game back, I've no doubt I'll see maybe half a dozen opportunities in the game where we should be creating an opportunity, whether it's across into the box, whether it's a shot at goal, whether it's somebody getting played through and goal. But we actually passed the ball at the park, which was unbelievable. It's incredible how slack and how sloppy we were on possession of the ball today. And it disappointed me because I spoke about yesterday about them playing their diamond in the middle of the park and how it could cause us problems. They done it against Motherwell and it caused Motherwell problems as well with their 3-5-2. And we had to use the ball well. We had to make the use of our wing backs to cause their shape a problem, make them change. And we weren't able to do it because our use of the ball was so poor. We ended up having to change at half time and then matched them up with a diamond in the middle of the park. And I thought the second half, although it wasn't a great spectacle, we limited Hibs to very little, and obviously we managed to get our goal ourselves.
At the time when Hibs made two or three chances, did you think at that point they were, you know, it was a long way back for you, sir?
Yeah, I did, but that's one thing that I think on the back of a decent wee run as well, it gives you that belief and that bit of momentum, that little bit of confidence to hang in, keep on working hard. And we know, I said it to the boys after the game, that now at the top end of the pitch with Tempson, with Reggiano, you've got that bit of quality. It doesn't take... It's not even a chance, if I'm being honest. It's a fantastic ball for Temps, but he's still got an awful lot to do, and it's a fantastic header. I managed to get a point out of a game probably in the past we would have lost.
Martin Canning there. A man is a Celtic fan in Govan Hill. A man, what's your point tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. Hi.
Hello, man.
It's just my point is, first of all, I hope to go tomorrow's final on Phil O'Donnell's memory is a good one. And I would like to ask the panel, especially Murdo, do you think I'm the only guy who's glad, not glad, but that Celtic will beat 7-1? Because that way we need at least 2-3 defenders. And if we do get the defenders, then I think we can do a Martin O'Neill and maybe go to the quarterfinal or the semi-final, even maybe win it. And
Is this the Europa League, you mean, man?
Yeah.
Well, I must admit, Murdo, when you see some of the teams that are about to drop in, I mean, Dortmund are still in third place, Napoli, Arsenal are there at the moment. Listen, a man may well be right, but
a man, that would be some achievement. I don't think the result during the week, and no one likes to see that result. No one's, no, because it's against a good side, then you accept it a wee bit, but you still got on with it. Celtic, I think, they'll know, Brendan will know, that he's got to get a better defence in for that level to take Celtic on another step, because domestically, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Winning most of the games, or winning all the games, and a couple of draws. So I don't think there's a big problem domestically, but when you get to this stage in Europe, you've got to have much better defenders in.
But I would like to ask, do you think if we send two or three good quality players, defenders especially, then we could go a long way in Europa Cup?
Well, I think it would make it better for Celtic if they've got better defenders, because you never know how far you can go. You never know who you're going to get drawn against. So, but if you get Celtic could draw Dortmund in the next round. So that'd be a really tough, no matter if you've got new defenders in.
Ahmad, let me ask you a question. Supposing, everything we're discussing is hypothetical, but supposing Celtic were drawn against Arsenal, would you be quite confident that Celtic would get past Arsenal?
Very confident. Well, I think if Celtic signed three good defenders, I think we would give Arsenal a great game.
Having said that, though, they're not going to sign three, are they? They may sign one.
But I do think, I think they could do with signing more than one. Again, one man's opinion, don't all shout at once. I think that in the January transfer window, Celtic have an array of talent up front and in the middle of the park.
Exactly.
But you can see where the weak link is. And exactly. I think they should simply concentrate on getting in two defenders in January.
Just finally, Aman, we're running out of time, so just I'm keen to get your thoughts on tomorrow. You've mentioned that the Phil O'Donnell aspect. What else are you expecting?
I hope it's a great game, and I hope Celtic won by one or goal, because I've got a weak point for Motherwell.
Well, there we are. So you want Celtic to win, but just not by too much.
Yeah.
That's the best of both worlds for Aman there. Thanks to Aman in Govan Hill for that call. Time is almost upon us. That probably will be the last call tonight. Hugh Keevans, it's been a dramatic weekend of football already, and we hope plenty more where that came from tomorrow.
Well, Neil Lennon's given his drama off the park today with what he's had to say about this graceful tackling. I look forward to seeing the highlights of that match after we have watched what I confidently expect will be an epic cup final.
Thanks to Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio this afternoon. Thanks to the top team all around the grounds, and of course the biggest thanks to you, the listeners, for listening at home and getting in touch on the phone lines and on Twitter. We will be back tomorrow. We know we're not always here on a Sunday, but tomorrow 2 o'clock, building up to that League Cup final. Alison and Gordon will be at the National Stadium. Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson will join me in the studio, and we hope it's going to be an absolute cracker. GBX is up next, though, the ideal way to start your weekend. Hugh Keevans is going to join George in the studio and dance the night away, I'm sure. But until tomorrow,
night night.